Welcome to Mind Matters with Eldon Taylor, where conversations explore the inner frontier. What is it I can say I know and why? Who am I really? Is there such a thing as free will? How does the human mind differ from the programmed artificial intelligence being built today? How is thinking and destiny connected? Is mind really capable of being our best healer or our worst slayer? Where does the world of shoes and ships and sealing wax leave off and the mind begin? These are just some of the questions Eldon and his guest take on in this next fascinating hour. You won't want to miss any of it. And now, here is your host of Mind Matters, Eldon Taylor.
Good afternoon. Today, we're going to be talking to a pioneer in the development, research, and clinical use of something called cortical electrostimulation, or better known simply as CES. You're invited to call in with your insight, experiences, and or questions about any of the subject matter that we're going to cover today. And that number to do that is 877-230-3062. Every caller today will get a copy of my book, Choices and Illusions. You know, when I was in college, the prevailing wisdom of the day insisted that memory was stored in engrams and egrams, and that when we reached a certain age, usually the early 30s, our brain cells began to die and not be replaced. Further, I was taught such things as IQ was fixed. Well, the fact of the matter is, all of that is false today. The brain is amazingly redundant, and its plasticity is well recognized. Researchers have shown us that memory is not stored in some one area of the brain. Indeed, some researchers have systematically removed brain parts from rodents in an attempt to extinguish the memory, say that of a particular maze, only to discover that there's no part, per se, that stores that memory. Indeed, although still somewhat controversial, it would appear that the holographic model of memory distribution was advanced in the early 1980s, originally by Carl Prebrum and David Bohm. And the basis of a lot of my own research and work at that time is probably absolutely correct. Well, today, we're going to be speaking with my special guest and a good friend, Dr. Charles McCusker. Dr. McCusker is a licensed clinical psychologist. I first met Charles when he was finishing his dissertation at the University of Utah. Later, together with Lee Liston of the Utah State Prison, Charles and I conducted the first double-blind study within a prison system using subliminal technology. Indeed, one of Dr. McCusker's real fortes is his knowledge of instrument testing, testing materials by instruments, and statistical acumen. As such, we administered what's known as the Minnesota Multiphasic Personality Inventory, which is about as sophisticated an instrument as you get. And then Charles added the Fowler Lens, a lens specifically for incarcerated environments, and augmented this via the computer way back in the 80s. But then that's another subject. The study and our findings, together with much more about subliminal uses and abuses, are published in the book that you'll receive today just for calling in. Cortical electrostimulation is a marvelous new device with just incredible potential. But then the pioneer, as I said, is Charles McCusker. So without further ado, welcome to the show, Dr. McCusker.
Hi, Eldon. How are you?
I'm excellent, sir. For our listening audience, tell me exactly what cortical electrostimulation, CES, is and how it's thought to work.
All right. CES is essentially you have a machine that kind of looks like a Walkman or an iPod, and one attaches ear clips to each ear, or can use a headset where electricity at a microcurrent level is put through the brain. It's very safe. And it's very effective in many cases. The typical use of CES, the FDA recognizes it in the treatment of anxiety, depression, and insomnia. So, you know, when one uses a CES machine, you turn the machine on, and you know, within 4 to 6 minutes, the brain is starting to respond to the stimulus. And typical session lasts about 45 minutes. And I suggest to people that they will use CES for, you know, 4 to 6 weeks for a maximum effect.
Now, Charles, I know that you did some pioneering work utilizing CES to increase IQ, but before we get to that, when you say that the brain responds to the stimulus, explain that a little more for us, will you?
All right. The brain, after the machine is turned on, it creates a subtle energy field in the brain. And so the brain, something about the nature of the field just helps the brain to want to, put itself on a higher level of homeostasis. And that just basically means that it can start working better.
Does it in some way or shape, let's take depression if we can, or anxiety, a heightened state of arousal, does it change the neurochemistry that is associated with those states?
Well, the studies that have been done show that byproducts of neurotransmitters that are in the blood have been measured pre and post, say like a 30-day or so CES regimen, and they will show a difference in the levels of byproducts of the neurotransmitters. So I would say that in a lot of cases, the brain starts producing its own neurotransmitters on an increased level within 5 to 10 minutes.
Okay, so now I happen to know what these are. I happen, as you know, to have a couple of them. But for our listening audience, we have an iPod-type device that has what one could compare to a headphone, except that they're ear clips. Instead of going in the ears like headphones, we clip them onto the ears.
Right.
We turn the device on. It delivers microvoltage of electricity. This microvoltage of electricity creates a homeostasis effect in the brain. This effect changes the cascading neurochemicals from those that might be associated, as in the instance of depression, with fight and flight, to those that are much more growth-oriented in the human being. Is that it in a nutshell?
Essentially. I mean, what you're doing is the voltage is higher than that, but it's the flow, it's a microamperage, which is a measure of the current flow, which is in the microamperes level. But, yes, that's it.
And so this treatment modality for depression, anxiety, and we'll get to a lot of other areas that this can be used, this is a drug-free, natural treatment modality.
Right, that's correct.
And CES has been available for how long?
I would say in the United States, more or less, it's been available since the mid-80s. But it's gone through a lot of changes in that time. Original research with CES was actually done in the Soviet Union back in the late 40s, as I know in modern times. But there's been a lot of work done on it over the decades. It's not a new modality, but the thing that's unique about it today is that it's a relatively inexpensive way to get help.
Now you mentioned the Soviets in the 40s, and that leads us to some of their work, I guess, because they utilized this kind of technology for parapsychological purposes, psychic things. Are you familiar with that?
Well, I would look at it like this, that just about any cognitive function that a person can have can be enhanced by using CES. And whether we're talking about being able to study better, or being able, having your memory be improved, abstract thinking, or, lots of different tasks, I would say that it generally enhances the brain function. That's how I could describe it most simply.
Now, you actually conducted a study. I think it was an ABAB clinical type of study, but you did a study with, well, I'll let you refresh me on the study. with regard to increasing IQ. Can you tell us about that?
Well, the study that I conducted with Delbert Goetz, a psychiatrist here in Salt Lake City, we proposed it to the University of Utah Medical School, Department of Psychiatry, in 1992, and ran the study in the clinical setting for about 4 years. And the main purpose of that was to, it's kind of funny because, you know, we were looking at stress-related ADHD, and so we had an outpatient clinic and people would come into it. I do an initial assessment, and then Dr. Goetz at the time would really be the one deciding whether they were an appropriate candidate for CES. But the, as far as I know, it was the first study with CES sanctioned through a medical school in the United States. But that study, I mean, I was looking more at, you know, depression and anxiety, you know, improvement. But I happened to measure, you know, do full-scale IQ testing on all of the patients. And, you know, it's sort of a serendipitous thing. I wasn't looking for it, but noticed that there was an increase in IQ in quite a few of them.
I have you hold that thought while we take a quick commercial. We'll come back and talk to you about that a little more. You're listening to Mind Matters. My guest today is Dr. Charles McCusker. I'm Eldon Taylor. This is Contact Talk Radio, and we'll be right back.
Hay House, the publisher that has revolutionized the industry, brings you Choices and Illusions, the riveting New York Times bestseller by Eldon Taylor. How did I get where I am and how do I get where I want to be? Questions we all ask ourselves. Choices and Illusions brings you the answers. Learn how choices are made for you without your knowledge, how you are programmed to sabotage your own goals, and why success so often eludes you. Learn to rewrite the most powerful influence in your life, your subconscious mind. John Edward, host of the Crossing Over show, says, "Read this book. We are living at a time when people are searching for answers in their lives. This book can be, if applied, a roadmap to personal enlightenment and empowerment. I believe it can tune in the frequency you are currently operating on. More importantly, it helps you to see that you can manifest a change. Get your copy today. Buy it online at Amazon or Barnes & Noble or get it at your local bookstore."
Now is your chance to be part of the show. Call 877-230-3062. Call in with your questions or thoughts and talk with the host and their guests. Again, that number is 877-230-3062.
Mind Matters with Eldon Taylor is brought to you in part by the Mind Mint, the self-improvement superstore. MindMint.com offers hundreds of books, audio and video programs, subliminal and hypnosis technologies, software, biofeedback, and much more, all designed with your success in mind. Proven programs to help in almost all situations and walks of life, from the practical to the spiritual. Go to www.mindmint.com, your complete one-stop self-improvement superstore. Once again, that's www.mindmint.com.
If you just joined us, welcome back. I'm Eldon Taylor. Program is Mind Matters. My special guest today is Dr. Charles McCusker. You're listening to Contact Talk Radio, and we're speaking about cortical electrostimulation. And Charles, before we went to the break, you were telling us about a study that was done at the University of Utah Medical Center, and the byproduct, or not a byproduct, but one of the serendipitous discoveries that you had in this study was that there was an increase in IQ. But there were other factors involved, too. Can you tell us about the number of different modalities that you were able to discriminate and the areas that were affected positively as a result?
Now, do you mean in terms of cognitive function?
Yes, please. Okay. I'm sorry.
Okay, well, on the we use the Wechsler scales, and the Wechsler scales have verbal and a nonverbal subtest. And so in both arenas, okay, typically people will say, "What's your IQ?" And then somebody says a number, okay? And there's a verbal IQ and a nonverbal or quantitative IQ, you know, that can be determined. And then within each of these, breaking down these domains, there are different cognitive tasks that are measured with IQ tests. So, on the average, on these specific tasks, there was an increase in one standard deviation in cognitive function across all the subjects in the study.
Okay, and for our listening audience, the standard deviation is?
Well, if you look at it as a standard score, say if it was a full-scale IQ, if it was 100 to start, the standard deviation would be 15 points. The average difference from the mean, which is significant and not something that we were looking for and I was expecting.
So you would have someone with an IQ of 100, which would be considered below average, below normal.
Suddenly, 100 is average.
Well, it depends. On the Wechsler, it's average?
Maybe not up in the Pacific Northwest. People are smarter up there.
Okay. Look, that's your forte. I'll pass to your power, but all right. So let's assume we have somebody that's 90. That's definitely challenged. Is that agreed?
Well, you know, there's a standard range, okay? You have a two-thirds of the population's IQ, they will test between 85 and 115. That's the standard deviation on each side of the mean. Okay, so that's about two-thirds of the population by definition.
So if we tested at 85, which would be below average, a standard deviation, you would have increased them to average. Is that right?
I would say that you could expect an IQ gain of 5 to 10 points.
Okay. Now I know you had one or two extreme cases. Can you tell us about those?
Well, I had one person that their verbal IQ increased by 40 points in a month. And then another person, that nonverbal IQ increased by about 40 points. That's the extreme.
Yeah, have you ever heard of that being done in any other intervention modality?
No.
In any kind of an educational way?
No, I haven't.
No, neither have I. I've never ever heard of that. That's a remarkable finding.
Well, you know, the systems are people aren't expecting, you know, the paradigm that you discussed, you know, when you started studying the mind, you know, about how things were fixed and they were dying, you know, after the age of 30, you know, people weren't looking for that.
No, they certainly were. Not back then, were they?
Now, Terman's studies at Stanford with IQ demonstrated with a gifted population that IQ tend to increase across the lifespan. You know, and that's a classic study from way back when. But, you know, most of the time, people, if they go to get evaluated, say it's a neuropsychological assessment, it's usually after they've had a head injury or a tumor or something. That, you know, people are expecting that their IQ, you know, is going to be lower. And then they look for the areas, you know, where the problems are from whatever the trauma to the brain was. And that nowadays it's even, you know, they can do that with, you know, different kinds of measurements of the brain, taking pictures of it, the different kinds.
IQ tests kind of have a tawdry background, if you think about it. So some of these old tests, they were skewed by various demographics, cultural things, et cetera. But without, you know, pursuing that, the people that you had the 40-point increases with, was there anything different by way of the way they used the equipment or the time that was involved, et cetera?
No.
Do you think it was an element of the test, you know, the day they took the test initially, they just weren't there, they didn't care, they were guessing or something like that?
One of them, I think they were in a lot of distress, but the other one, no. On those two extreme cases, they just tested and retested. And we, you know, in the Wechsler manual, there's a compensation for retest practice effect of the test.
Mm-hmm.
And we included that in the calculating the post-test IQs. You know, we actually took points off, you know, for retest or practice effect of using the test. So these gains were genuine. I can think of a lot of different examples, but one that comes to mind is a young lady that had Turner syndrome. And, you know, there was no other therapy involved besides using the CES. And she had an IQ gain of 10 points from 65 to 75 within about a month's period. And that, you know, their Turner syndrome is an abnormality of the fourth chromosome. And a lot of these kids kind of look like Down syndrome kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, that was amazing to see.
Yes, it would be. Have you been able to draw any correlation between, I mean, there's a great difference between, say, anxiety and Turner syndrome. And yet, one treatment modality, CES, is effective with this very large variety, including increasing IQ. Have you been able to draw any covariance or corollary between what CES actually does and all these different things it affects?
Well, I wrote a paper on that, which is on my website. And actually, if you recall, you're an author on that paper, too. And I discussed improvement of what we'd just call the homeostasis of the brain. So one fellow, for instance, in the original study, was taking a medication for, you know, for ulcers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so he reported that after he used, you know, in his post-testing, that after he used the CES, he didn't have to take the ulcer medication anymore. So I mean, the etiology or causal factors, in some cases, you know, you're talking about maybe a psychological trauma or life events that created people having depression or anxiety. But in other cases, it's just a function of how well the brain's working.
Okay.
Now, very recently, one of the cases people that I've worked with that you're aware of is the fellow that had the stem cell transplant.
Mm-hmm.
And he had long bone cancer, and 3 years ago they harvested his own stem cells, and then reintroduced them into his system, following that he got better. I mean, he had had radiation and chemotherapy, and then after that they introduced his stem cells, which took off and kept him alive. But once a month he'd have to go in for a medication called Zomata, which would knock him down for about 10 days. And, well, when he started using the CES within a very short time, his recovery period from this monthly treatment was only 1 day instead of 10. You know, so, yeah. I mean, that's a substantial improvement in his quality of life.
Boy, I'll say it is, but now, you know, if you assume that homeostasis is what CES is establishing, then I'm compelled to think an individual, a normal individual that isn't suffering, that isn't medicated, takes an IQ test, then uses CES, is not likely to influence them. But I know better.
Yeah, well, that's you know, I would say that the CES would enhance learning in a lot of people, not just somebody that's got a clinical diagnosis.
So do you think there's another factor besides just homeostasis? Or is it that we're just all running around in a state of such stimuli that we've forgotten what natural homeostatic is?
Well, you know, for instance, turn on the news, you know, and there's a lot of trauma out there, you know, and people are wondering, there's politics and there's, you know, up there you folks have had like a lot of flooding and the economy, you know, that affects people. And if people get traumatized, what I've noticed is that some of them, some people will go back to a better level of function, but if they're under a lot of stress for a long time, the brain adapts to functioning that way.
So you think, I mean, we're using homeostasis in the sense of balance, in the sense of, you know, the system is working the way it was designed to work, right?
Right, and that's separate from any clinical diagnoses,
right,
you know, that one might make. Yeah, it makes the brain work better. And I think, like, for you know, people that are dealing with, you know, jobs that require a lot of high-level thinking, you know, a lot of abstract reasoning, if somebody starts using the CES, the connections are there, you know, so they, in the brain's primed to work better. You know, you have optimal levels of neurotransmitters available to the, you know, the cells to talk better. And things get easier for them. I've just been helping a young lady in the Salt Lake area who is studying for an insurance exam, you know, a state insurance license. Mm-hmm. And she started using the CES, and within a few days after, her ability to remember information went up. And she, you know, makes things easier.
Dr. McCusker, we're going to have to take another break. But earlier, before we go to the break, I want you to give your website, because earlier you mentioned the site and you mentioned a paper that you have there. What is that website?
Okay, the website is charlesmccusker.com, and it's charlesmccusker.com. And if people go to that website, there's a link to the CES website, and all the information is there. There's in the research study section, there's about 170 pages of research.
And listen, all the listening audience out there, here's your opportunity to call Dr. McCusker and ask him the questions that you'd like to, whether, you know, whether it's an issue having to do with depression and anxiety or IQ, you've heard the gamut of things. Take the opportunity. Get your free book. Call us at 1-877-230-3062. You're listening to Mind Matters. I'm Eldon Taylor. My guest today is Dr. Charles McCusker. We've been talking about, well, mind matters, particularly the effect of cortical electrostimulation. We'll be right back after these commercial messages.
ContactTalkRadio.com, your connection to empowering information.
By special arrangement, Eldon has made available his best-selling Essential Pillars of Success at unheard-of savings. The principles and essential pillars have worked for thousands of people around the world and are guaranteed to work for you. Essential Pillars of Success consists of 9 programs on 8 CDs and comes with a book that explains how and why it's so easy to self-sabotage our best efforts and provides a roadmap for correcting those thought patterns and beliefs. It also includes a booklet teaching the learning strategies involved in choosing the programs or scripts that run through your mind. The entire mind conditioning set normally sells for $243.50, but is yours today for only $88. Plus, you will receive hundreds of dollars in bonus tools to further assist you. Call 1-800-964-3551 today for details.
Mind Matters with Eldon Taylor is brought to you in part by InnerTalk, the patent and proven audio technology that makes change easy from the inside out. When you're ready for change, you want InnerTalk. You can succeed and you can begin today. Lose weight, stop smoking, enhance relationships, be a better parent, increase memory, end procrastination, realize your goals, and so much more. Hundreds of titles to choose from. Inner Talk, when believing in yourself matters. Check it out today at www.innertalk.com or phone for a free catalog at 1-800-964-3551. Again, for more information and that free catalog,
call them at 1-800-964-3551.
And now, back to Mind Matters with Eldon Taylor, bringing a bold new face to age-old questions. Join the discussion by calling toll-free 1-877-230-3062.
Dr. McCusker, I'm Eldon Taylor. You're listening to Mind Matters. My guest today is Dr. Charles McCusker. If you just joined us, if you didn't, welcome back. Before the break, we were discussing cognitive engineering methods, utilizing cortical electrostimulation, and in particular, effects on IQ and mood state. And Dr. McCusker was just finishing telling us the story of a individual that was studying for an examination. It's just a very normal, you know, like you and I kind of person that employed cortical electrostimulation to increase her learning ability or her memory retention, make test taking easier. You want to pick up from there, Dr. McCusker?
Sure. I would say that, you know, if somebody starts using a CES, you know, the thing that changes is the brain's capacity to input information increases. But the people need to be aware, if this is what their focus is, that that's indeed happening. A lot of times their ability to analyze themselves, it's really hard to analyze yourself. But you can see by the results of the work you're doing. So if you combine that with, say you're studying a new subject material, also, I mean, it's really important that people believe that they can do it. And so, I mean, with a lot of my clients, I make available to them Dr. Taylor's recordings, depending on what area they want to work with. And when you combine those things, you get better results. The people get better results, and it's easy. And they're surprised at how easy it's become.
Okay, now, you and I did research way back in the early 80s with the Utah State Prison System, which is something I mentioned at the top of the hour as we started this show. And for our listening audience, at that time I was working on developing a technology that today we just call InnerTalk because it's designed just to prime your InnerTalk, become your InnerTalk. Technically, it's a form of dichotic masking, but as far as the public's concerned, they see this often as like subliminal. Now, the opponents of subliminal are the first to say that what we do is unsubliminal, but the fact of the matter is all that in a word doesn't matter. It's a technology that delivers information to you in a way that the conscious mind can't argue with it. So when Dr. McCusker says that he is employing this technology, he's employing a recording, and perhaps the recording is for depression. And in that instance, we have also run our own double-blind studies on that and demonstrated its effectiveness. So he will bring the two technologies together in tandem. Now, if I understand you correctly, and I'm gonna let you fill this one and flesh it, if you will, Charles, but by combining the two, you reach this state of balance in the brain, homeostasis, and you prime their belief that they can stay there, they'll be there, that things are working, and everything does work.
Right.
Is it that simple?
It's that simple. The effects of both modalities together get an increased result over using either one of them separately.
Okay. So, and that would make sense, because if you just use the one, you have affirmations, and maybe that helps me right this minute, or for a week, or 10 days, maybe a month, 6 months, but I don't live in a vacuum. As you say, I turn on the television set, suddenly I'm inundated with, you know, the market dropped 400 points today, right?
Right.
My 401k went south, and I thought I was going to retire, and now I can't, and good old balance and homeostasis disappears. So maintaining that makes sense that it would increase your quality of life overall.
That's right.
Charles, how does somebody get a CES? Is this something they have to get from a physician?
They need a note from a licensed healthcare practitioner. They're available up in that part of the country. If they contact you, we can make it work out so it's legal and copacetic for everyone. And it's very easy to get. The average cost of one of these units is about $300. And what's really amazing to me is that, you know, back in 1991, the average price of these machines was $600 to $800. So we've been able to, you know, get the price down substantially.
They're a lot more user friendly today, smaller and more serviceable than they were when they were $600 to $800 too.
You know, I saw people pay up to $1,295 for one.
You know, $300 is not a lot of money if you're on, you know, medication for a condition, you know, like we've been talking about. You can be spending that there. But the practical use is just, you know, there have been electrostimulation methods that have been non-prescription methods. One that comes to my mind is Bob Beck's brain tuner. You familiar with that?
Sure. You know, he was actually responsible. He worked for the government years ago, and when the East and West, the Iron Curtain was there, and the American Embassy was being bombarded with microwaves, they treated it by having people wear a CES unit.
Our listening audience probably isn't familiar with that, but we lost a number of personnel in our embassy in the Soviet Union. In fact, John Hopkins ran a study on it once and indicated that there was no reason for that. But after the Cold War, if you will, ended and information became more available, what Dr. McCusker is referring to is the technology the Soviets were testing out, whereby they would upload on a microwave a particular frequency pattern and drop it on our embassy, and it interrupted nervous systems, and it caused death. Indeed, that's what you're talking about. But Bob Beck used his in some psychic ways. He utilized it as a case in point among groups to increase psi scores. Have you done any of that kind of work?
No, I haven't. But you know, again, that's a kind of a cognitive function. Right, you know, it's an ability, and so it would make sense that that would improve.
You don't want to add any more on that one?
I think that the people that did that work, I mean, you're aware of it. I think it speaks for itself, to tell you the truth. I focus more on, you know, people's quality of life today in terms of, you know, you could call psychic ability a form of intuition, right? And it's a cognitive skill, and everybody has it, you know. But anything that makes you more sensitive or in tune to what works, or perception, and it's all about perception. So, yeah, I mean, I'm just saying that, you know, my realm has more been in, you know, for anybody that wants to do that kind of thing, you know, I would probably talk to 100 people that wanted just to get some relief, you know, from a lot of stress in their life.
Well, I'm just trying to bait you a little bit into the parapsychological realm.
I know, it's your radio show.
but you did very well at staying right down there as the clinician and treating that the way you should. We're going to take a short commercial message. When we come back, we'll talk a little more to Dr. McCusker about some of his case studies and some of the advantages that anyone and everyone can enjoy from a little bit of low voltage, a little electricity on the brain, a little homeostasis, if you will. I'm Eldon Taylor. This is Contact Talk Radio, KRWM 106.9, FM HD Channel 3 out of Seattle, contacttalkradio.com. This show is Mind Matters. My guest today is Dr. Charles McCusker. We'll be right back after this commercial message.
You've heard of subliminal messages as used to sell you goods, ideas, even politicians. But did you know there is a patented and scientifically demonstrated effective CD series known as InnerTalk? InnerTalk can motivate and teach your subconscious in ways that can release stress, restore confidence, and build a new you. Millions of users worldwide have turned to InnerTalk as the antidote for all the negative messaging that most of us get every day. Think about it. Play your CD in the background while you do other things, and all the while your subconscious mind is being trained. Maybe you want to lose weight, or maybe you have difficulty in your relationships, or maybe you think of the maybe and ask yourself, what could I do if I believe that I could do anything and not fail? Go to their website and get their free catalog today at innertalk.com or call toll-free 1-800-964-3551. Remember, InnerTalk, when believing in yourself matters.
Listening live right now? Join the party. Visit our chat room at contacttalkradio.com.
And now, back to Mind Matters with Eldon Taylor, bringing a bold new face to age-old questions. Join the discussion by calling toll-free 1-877-230-3062.
Welcome back. If you just joined us, I'm your host, Eldon Taylor. The show is Mind Matters. My special guest today is Dr. Charles McCusker. And we've been talking about something called CES. Delivering a little bit of electricity to your brain seems to have the ability to increase IQ, change mood states, make you feel better. It's simple. It's easy. It's safe. And we're gonna discuss that, too, in this remaining 15 minutes. But I want to remind you, be one of our callers. Add your experience. Tell us, bring your questions, your insight. Call us at 1-877-230-3062. We have a copy of my book, Choices and Illusions, for all the callers today. So it's a New York Times bestseller, if I do say so. It's actually a very good book. And it recaps some of the research that Dr. Charles McCusker and myself have done, including publishing an abstract by Dr. McCusker from some landmark work at the Utah State Prison. You ever get asked about that, Dr. McCusker? The study we did at the prison?
Oh, I do. Quite more frequently than you think. You were doing a couple of things at that time, and in addition to quantifying some effects, you also developed a method of you developed the technology so where you actually retrieve the subliminal messages in your recordings, and you call that the Taylor method. And, that turned it more, a lot more into a science than just people saying they had something in their tape. And parametric equalizers, all the equipment you use. And, you were able, I remember the study you did with, it was more, you represented this teenager that was, or his family that had died, and went up against CBS and the Judas Priest rock group. Yeah. I'll always remember that.
I do, too. I'll never forget that one. You're right. That's a whole nother show, however, isn't it?
We can talk about
some of those things another time. Back to cortical electrostimulation. People have got to be asking themselves, if they're listening to us, a couple of questions. I mean, first of all, this is a small computer. Second of all, it's going to deliver voltage. So, how complicated is it to work, and how much does it hurt?
Actually, it's very simple to use, and it's not painful. It's actually, when you put it on, you start feeling more relaxed. It's actually quite pleasurable because you get endorphin. Some people I've had them use it for the first time, and they couldn't stop laughing because they got an endorphin rush. I didn't think they had any endorphin up there, you know, if they're so depressed. But then they just start laughing, and they felt really good and relaxed.
For our listening audience, those that use it don't know, endorphins are the body's natural opiate system. They're the feel-good neurochemicals. So it feels good. It doesn't hurt.
Right.
And it's not complicated?
No. It's very simple. I think that's when, you know, people have a complex, right? By definition, a complex is something that's not simple. You know, it's complex, right? So, I mean, if something is simple, it's just a little different way of looking at it. You know, while I'm on the radio with you, I just wanted to extend a note and thanks to, Dr. Lawrence Paris and Michael Stevens up there in Seattle, who have the CES Ultra company, which is based, I believe, out of Kirkland. And so, I mean, I just wanted to say hello to them if they're listening and let people know that, Dr. Paris was one of the people that really helped get this thing through the FDA in years past, and he's done a lot of work with it.
You know, I had the opportunity through you to work with him. He's a fine man. We have contacts around the world distributing a lot of the programs that I've authored, our technology, but one of our contacts in China was very interested in utilizing CES for increasing intelligence, increasing IQ for learning, for memory. And as a result, Dr. Paris ships, I think it was about 100 units into them. I don't recall off the top of my head. But, of course, in China, when they saw these units, they had to define them, categorize them, put them into some place. And because they had been classified in the United States as a medical device, the use of this device was denied. And so they were returned. And, sometimes, Charlie, I think we overprotect ourselves and we underprotect ourselves at the same time. I think that's an instance of overprotection. Are you familiar with any reason that this device should be restricted by way of access to it?
Not really. In fact, in Canada, I helped a group of people up there. They started a company called Sleep Genie. And up in Canada, they were able to get it approved as an over-the-counter device, as a sleep aid. And it took 10 days for them to get it approved. But if you tried to get it up there as a medical device, it'd be almost impossible. And the way things are in the United States, it's approved as a medical device, but to get it approved as an over-the-counter device through the FDA seems to me would be almost impossible, just because of the nature of the governments and the laws.
Well, and an FDA, what a lot of people don't understand about an FDA approval is that is a major big bucks deal now. One of the members of our board, I happened to work for a major chemical company for a number of years. She was a patent researcher, and when they would file application for FDA approval, she told me the last one that they did, they rented a U-Haul in order to drive all the paperwork over. I mean, it's not just expensive, it's a monumental task. So it's a big bucks business. All right. That aside then, Dr. McCusker, if somebody wants to know more about cortical electrostimulation, where they might get it, how they might go about getting it, how they might use it, its various applications, its case histories, et cetera, tell us again where we can get that information.
To get information on CES per se, as far as what it does, CharlesMcCusker.com, and the links to the CES, my CES website. That has a lot of information in it. There's a good book by Race, a really good book, where he summarizes the research, CES 50 Years Plus 2, that's available for sale.
Now that's CES 50 Years Plus 2?
Correct.
All right. And you get that at Amazon or somewhere?
Right.
Okay, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I wasn't sure I heard what you said. Keep going, please.
And of course, they can contact you. And if anybody has any specific questions or problems or issues, if I can help any individuals, you know, they can certainly contact you or they can contact me. My telephone number is area code 801-688-2628.
Say that number again, please.
It's 801-688-2628.
Okay, Charles, we have about 5 minutes. In the remaining 5 minutes, what would you say are some of the more spectacular things that you have seen as effect, positive effects from, well, for that matter, any effect? I assume there aren't any negative effects from the use of cortical electrostimulation.
Well, on the average, somebody that's got clinical depression or anxiety disorder will experience a change in testing of those domains of about 45 percentiles in the positive direction. So that's substantial. A case that comes to mind is another case that, you know, you and I have consulted on with each other. I had a fellow who's a Vietnam veteran that suffered from post-traumatic stress disorder, has been disabled for over 30 years, and every waking moment when he closed his eyes, he'd see an image of a plane crashing on which 12 of his friends were killed, where he had been a fellow who had worked on the airplane just before it took off. And he had that all the time, and at night he'd have constant nightmares and see that all the time. And this is maybe one of the most dramatic effects I've seen, is that after using the CES machine for 4 days, that went away. And it just went away. And then I've been working with him, and I've added, you know, some of your materials, and he's had improvement in his overall health, and he's being able to do things that he hasn't been able to do for years. Including just feeling better. And, you know, that's pretty dramatic to me. He said that he waited a long time. He knew that someday somebody would be able to help him. But he'd been through all the treatments and just whatever happened to him, it traumatized his brain. And the CES and using a few of your different programs, Alden, he's also had a decrease in, he was suffering from restless leg syndrome. It just went away. That's dramatic to me.
That is, and it's got to make you feel good, too, that you have the ability to do that. And it just, you know, I guess in my mind I'm trying, you know, I'm a visual person, as you know, and I think of the holographic model, and so I think of the pond with two pebbles that have been thrown into it and those concentric circles that overlap and how our right and our left hemisphere and all the electrical firing that's going on up there have got to be creating these waveforms that are overlapping and how there has to be in these traumatic states irregularity in the firing and that would be analogous to instead of having these pretty concentric circles that are overlapping, you know, somebody has just slapped the water with a big paddle. And when you're using CES, what you're doing is reestablishing that pattern, as those concentric circles, that if you will, balance of waveform between hemispheres. That's how I visualize it, Dr. McCusker. You got anything you want to add to that? Like, tell me, I'm out to lunch.
Well, I just want to tell you that I think that, you know, you've helped a lot of people, Eldon, and I'd just like to see your work continue. And
well, thank you very much, and I feel very strongly about you and your work as well. We've run out of time. Give us your telephone number and your website again, please, sir, quickly.
CharlesMcCusker.com. And that's CharlesMcCusker.com. My telephone number is 801-688-2628.
Thank you for being my guest today. Thank you all for listening. We'll see you next week. I'm Eldon Taylor. The program is Mind Matters. You're listening to Contact Talk Radio. Good evening.
Thank you for listening to Mind Matters with Eldon Taylor, the one show where your mind is the ultimate frontier. Remember to join him again for more riveting guests and thought-provoking discussions every Tuesday at 4 o'clock Pacific Time right here on ContactTalkRadio.com.